Eastern Washington beat Villanova in the semifinals.
And
then
right.
played Delaware and won the national championship back in 2010. When that happened, our next guest was an assistant coach on the staff. Now he is the head coach of the Eagles of Eastern Washington University. It's going to be a big game Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, the national semifinal as the Maine Black Bears take on the Eagles of Eastern Washington. Pleased to be joined by the head coach, Aaron Best. Coach, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Well, congratulations, too, on a terrific run through the regular season and the playoffs. Black Bears know what it's like to be in a tough conference, but the Big Sky took care of business this year, getting three teams in the final eight.
It did, and it was nice to be represented with four overall, with Montana State being the fourth, to be able to feel like you can kind of hang with some other leagues that have gotten, you know, four and five bids and six bids before, and it's fun to see because I think it was well represented, but well respected, and I think being around the Big Sky for 20 plus years, it's the best the league has ever been from top to bottom. So it's fun to watch, fun to be a part of, but obviously not easy to play in when you're talking eight league games against really tough opponents.
Boy, what a great game last week with UC Davis as well. I was watching that from my own biased perspective as the play-by-play guy for Maine, thinking, where do I want to go next week? And then I just got wrapped up in what a great game. First of all, Dan Hawkins going for the two-point conversion and the win, and then you guys just marched right down the field. Can you talk about that final game-winning drive?
Well, I'll tell you, before that, you know, Coach Hawk, we talked about it before even that drive, that expect them to go for two. You know, they're on the road, the old adage, right? You're down, you're on the road, go for two and decide possibly your fate with the ability still to recover an onside kick. So we expected them to go for two. They end up executing the two-point play, which put us then obviously down a point. And at the end of the day, we thought three timeouts, a minute 26 left on the clock, and the ball to 25, needing a field goal. And we work our clutch situation every week, and so we're used to it. We're a no-huddle team anyway, so it's not foreign to us to play up-tempo with three and four wides. And lo and behold, we didn't schedule it this way, but three plays later, we go in the end zone, two of those being runs, one to start things off with a scramble by Eric to get us about a 25, 30-yard gain to start off with, because in any situation in clutch where you 2-minute situation, you need a big chunk yardage play. Happened to be on first down, and then we had a pass to Simba Webster for about 11 to move the sticks again, and then Sam McPherson took it in from 30 plus out. So we're looking for a field goal to seal it. We end up getting 6 points, missed a 2-point conversion, and then ended up getting a sack fumble on the second play of their offensive series to seal the victory.
Well, you know, coaches always talk about having that next guy up mentality, and you got to practice that in real life when you lost your starting quarterback early in the season. An opportunity presented itself, and Eric Berrier has certainly taken advantage of that with a tremendous year.
Well, you say it right. We look at those as opportunities. We look at them as get-tos, not have-tos. And so that's our mentality, always has been, was instilled by Coach Baldwin, the former head coach here, while I was an assistant. Some of these guys played under his mentorship and guidance as a head coach prior to myself. And so that's something that is kind of instilled in us, part of our DNA. We need to prepare as if we're starters. If we're not, then when the opportunity comes, we're ready when and if the time comes. And so we've got a big, huge competitive bunch that all want to play, but we can only play 11 at a time on the field. And so how do you instill in a guy belief? And then on top of not just believing, being able to execute what's asked of him, Eric Berrier has done a fabulous job thus far after taking the reins after game five when Gage went down. And so couldn't happen to a better man, better, more prepared man, a guy that cares, and he's a pretty talented individual. He's still got a long, long ways to go, huge ceiling, but I give him a ton of credit for where we are at today, stepping in the shoes of Gage Guberu.
Well, you've got an awfully balanced offense this year, averaging better than 538 yards per game, 44 points per game, and it's not just the pass game. Sam McPherson had a tremendous year, 1,288 yards so far for you. I think the first 1,000-yard rusher you've had in a number of seasons. Now, talk about the balance, if you can, of your offensive attack.
Well, it started a year and a half ago or 20 months ago when we talked about as a staff, once introduced as head football coach, that we needed to be more balanced. Not wanted to be more balanced. We needed to be more balanced. Wind plays and Cheney blows a lot. Weather isn't always awesome when you get to this time of the year. Different environmental things can affect when you throw the ball 50 to 55 times a game. And so how do we develop ourselves to be a bit more balanced if we are going to have RPO and play action pass situations? How are we going to get them, the defenses, to respect us if we're not running the ball enough to keep them honest? And some of our best players, you mentioned one of them, Sam McPherson. Antoine Custer is also a guy that's packed the rock for us this year. Tamarick Pierce, Dennis Merritt. We got four capable individuals, one through four, to be able to do that. So you know as well as I do, you're going to lean on your best in any situation, and some of our best guys are running backs. And so it just has kind of evolved a little bit from last year to this year. By no means are we a run-first outfit. We're still going to establish the run, but still be pass-first with our multiple concepts in the pass game. But it's fun to watch, fun to be part of, and you never know who's getting the ball. I mean, we call an RPO. It could be a handoff. Could be thrown to any of the four wide receivers out in routes. And we try to make it fun and interesting. We've been productive thus far this season.
We're talking with Eastern Washington coach Aaron Best. Your offense obviously gets a lot of attention. Your defense, no slouch either. 32 sacks on the season, 18 interceptions, and overall pretty solid numbers there. And as we saw, when you need to, they can make the big plays as you did against UC Davis.
You know, I've been proud of that bunch because they've heard it for a couple years that, you know, if we're just maybe a little bit better, got another stop or created a few more turnovers, and a head coach slash quarterback's best friend is a run game and a defense. And if you can be very good in both, then that doesn't put so much pressure on your quarterback to not screw things up or have to make the perfect play. And so through 13 games thus far, the defense has held steady. You know, obviously we're not perfect. We're not number one in the nation, but that's not where we see ourselves. They're going to be on the field a lot because we're a no-huddle offense. So we look at it as yards per play and not necessarily yards per game, because that's a big difference if you're out there 55 snaps versus 75 snaps. And so our defense has done a tremendous job getting off the field on third down this year, creating turnovers, and then kind of, like you say, with Jimmy Townsend with a sack strip last week against Jake Mayer and company, was Johnny on the spot, and then they rose to the occasion and got the game sealed last week. So hopefully we can continue some of our consistency this week. Obviously it's going to be a tough test against a run-first outfit such as yourselves, and then the ability to throw deep off of that stuff once you've got the run game going. So when you're unpredictable, it's hard to stay consistent, but we'll do our best to stay gap sound, tackle ball carriers and ball catchers, and see where that takes us.
What's this like for you, this first experience as a head coach, but you've been a part of this program for a long time, first as a player, as an assistant coach, as a coordinator? What's this opportunity meant to you?
Well, it's meant everything. You know, people talk about dream jobs all the time. I mean, this isn't something that I set out to do 25 years ago, or close to it when I came here to play. And so some people have the vision and get to the end game or end goal. You know, 25 years later, this wasn't the path I intended to take. But when you are coaching at your alma mater, around the likes of the administration, the students here, everybody outside of the football program is just so welcoming. It's a 12,000 town community, so you feel like everybody's behind you. It's not a huge city. You got Spokane nearby if you need to get out and about. It means everything. I met my wife here. We got three beautiful kids thanks to her. I had nothing to do with it. And so, you know, there's a lot of things to be grateful for, and that's just one of many. And I'm surrounded by a great supporting cast in terms of coaches, players, administration across campus, and I couldn't be happier. But we'll still continue to stay and live in the moment. But every once in a while, you got to pinch yourself because I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity given to me by Bill Chaser, former athletic director.
Now, we've watched games at the Inferno on television for years and years, and always hope to get a chance to go out there. Is it as bright in person on that red turf as it appears to be on TV?
You know, I would probably say yes, but if you hang around it for a week or two, it almost is interesting when you watch film of green fields. It's different for us when we're actually breaking down opponents because we're so used to watching practice and games with the red turf. But, you know, it's unique, and I think Bill Chaves, like I said, the former director of athletics here, once said is when we put it in 2010, when we got the thumbs up, it was people were going to be talking about it, and it's either going to be good talk or bad talk, but at the end of the day, they're all talking about it. And so it's worked wonders in terms of winning percentage. Guys love to protect the red. It's a special place. It's kind of our own identity on Saturdays when we play at home, and so we're really protective of it and also very proud of it.
Well, you've got a great program, one of the showcase programs of FCS football. We're very excited to come out and see it in person. Coach Aaron Best, congratulations on a great season, and thank you so much for taking time for us today.
Thanks for having us. Safe travels, man.
Aaron Best, head coach of Eastern Washington University, the Eagles, hosting the Black Bears.